Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back, everybody. It would help if I turned the mute button off, but hey, look, it is Tuesday, and if you can believe it, it's time for the As for Football College Football Roundtable. Another wild weekend of college football. We saw some upsets. We got USF caught looking past Navy. JMU and UNT are now in the driver's seat, respectively, for playoff opportunities, but I'm thinking the Monarchs will get the nod unless the American shows out in a big way in the next couple weeks. I'm not sure how that we'll see a three-loss conference champion make it, but who knows? It is college football. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. Or if you prefer, you can just call it Ring Knocker Radio and 100% Ring Knockers today because you just got myself and Dano Icabesa. I'm Rob the Angry Colonel calling to you out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal, Connecticut. Trigger Joe is dealing with some family stuff, so thoughts and prayers go out to him. Hopefully everything goes well. He gets good prognosis by the end of the show. But Dan, how are we doing?
Good, man. I did not catch a ton of college football this weekend. We went up to Worcester to see my daughter's dance performance. She's part of this college dance troupe, which was awesome. I thought she was really good, but I was like flipping back and forth on the radio as I was driving up between Navy USF and Air Force UConn. Felt really bad for the Zoomies when they lost their quarterback. I mean, that team is just, they're struggling at all times, and they were always going to struggle at UConn, but without Zarka, man, they were just roadkill. So both those games got a little frustrating at times. And then I closed the day watching Oklahoma at Bama. And Jesus, man, that Oklahoma team is for real. Yeah. I did not expect that at all. So, you know, hopefully I have enough to hold up my end this week.
Yeah, for sure. So I watched some good ones early. I watched Michigan and Northwestern get into a knife fight. That was a surprisingly good game. I think Michigan is starting to come into their own, but, you know, they're in a crock pot, not a microwave. So it's probably not going to happen this season. It's probably going to take the rest of this season and next year to make them a threat in the Big Ten. Yo, man, I think South Carolina forgot to lay down for Texas A&M. That was a wild, wild game. And I mean, but is it surprising? It's something typical that we've seen in the SEC towards the tail end of the season. We all remember Spencer Rattler from a few years back. And then Texas Tech looked good, switched over to the UFC, watched that, started watching the prelims. And then, of course, I had the Buckeyes on the other screen, and it was like, dude, that team is good.
That team is like, really good. They're really good.
Yeah, they're way too comfortable. And then, like, when your number two receiver sits down and, like, your number three and number four are catching balls all over the place, I mean, it really doesn't matter. I think they've got enough talent that's young enough that they're going to continue to develop, but they also have enough talent that's current on the squad, on the field, that makes all the difference in the world. And speaking of somebody that can make all the difference in the world, we have someone that can make all the difference in the world on your next PCS move. So if you listen to the show before, you know that we have a sponsor here by the name of Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a member of the Long Gray Line from West Point, class of 2010. She served in the Army as a logistics officer, where she honed her passion for making an impact on people's lives. Now as a dedicated realtor, she brings the same commitment to helping you find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service to ensure a seamless home buying experience that is tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted veteran realtors that spans the country, ready to support you no matter where your PCS takes you, whether you're relocating locally or across the country. Jocelyn makes recommendations at no cost, connecting you with professionals of integrity in your next market. As a proud supporter of Ask for Football this season, Jocelyn is a realtor that you can trust to guide you to a home. Reach out today and let her know so she can help your next move effortless. Dan, if you would recap the Service Academy standings, please.
Yes. Well, Army is 5-4, having beaten Temple a little more than a week ago, now coming off a bye. We previewed their game hosting Tulsa at Mikey Stadium this weekend for Senior Day. It's also going to be my 30th class reunion this week, which is wild. Navy is now 8-2 after a well-rested Blake Horvath led the Mids to a close win against South Florida. Navy got up early. We'll talk about this a little bit more later, but man, that Navy offense is something else. The defense, I don't know, but that offense, was cooking. You know, Horvath went out, didn't really stop him. That other kid, what's that other kid's name? Woodson, yeah. Braxton Woodson came in. He is an incredible athlete. Like that Woodson kid is an incredible athlete. So, yeah, Navy, very surprising this weekend. I was not expecting that at all. And then Air Force now 3-7. Like we said, when Zarco went out, the whole fire went out of that team. I don't know if they were ever beating UConn. I mean, that UConn team is pretty good. I don't think it's going to be very long before they make the jump to the Big 12 or the ACC. But we'll see, man. Air Force takes on New Mexico this week. That's, you know, they're playing for pride. They're not going to a bowl game. It's unfortunate. And then finally, the Merchant Marine Academy beat the Coast Guard Academy to win the 2025 Secretary's Cup. Game looked like it was a good time, Rob said. I definitely did not have time to check it out. Both the Secretary of Transportation and the Secretary of Homeland Security were there, had a pretty large fan fest. Final score, 39-38 Mariners. So that's a pretty exciting game. Yeah.
I mean, I watched that game. I had it on between Sprint and freaking watching Michigan. And I was like, wow, like this is actually, it was a good game. It was surprisingly good. And the football was good, you know, and typically like when you watch FCS schools or, you know, other outside of the FBS, you get a little concerned because you're like, I don't know if this game is going to be as good, but certainly great competition. I thought it was really good. I appreciate the effort. And again, I think they had some, like they had some celebrities there at the fan fest, which was kind of cool. So they had some of the guys from Terminalist were there. So I think it was like Taylor Kish and the other Hemsworth's brother, like the third tier guy. I can't remember his name, but
see the one that's the new Witcher.
Yes. So like when you see them, you're like, okay, whatever, man. Like man. I appreciate them going out and finding some folks and bringing them there and giving the fans a good experience.
Let's circle back for a second to that Sprint football game. Rob, your team beat themselves.
Oh yeah. 100%.
I mean,
100%.
I don't know if they were the better team on the field, but they didn't give themselves an honest chance to win with all those penalties.
Yeah. And turnovers. Right. And so turnovers. I think one of the things is like, you know, God forbid there's rat poison out there in Sprint land, right? But there's a whole bunch of coverage of the Sprint team going into that game, and it's just like, man, like you talk about the team afterwards, right? Like you never talk about a person on the heater if you can avoid it. Like, oh, he's about to throw a no hitter. We talk about it, and of course, crack. There's a home run, and it's over. So I think that's one of it. You know, unfortunately, Sprint did drop one to Navy. That always sucks because those are the two most competitive teams in the CSFL. Like on the East Coast, like that's it. Like if you're watching the Sprint Football League, that's going to be the game that you want to watch. Hopefully it doesn't play too early in the year, because sometimes there were times where we'd end up playing those guys twice. And so you play them once in the middle of the season and then once for the championship. And those are always always touch and go. And again, it's probably 50-50 with Army and Navy and Sprint football, because again, they crush everybody else and then they match up well against each other.
If they played 10 times, I think it would go 5-5. I mean, those teams were pretty even, but they just, man, Army could not get out of its own way. It was very frustrating all the way around sports weekend for me personally.
Yeah. And again, it goes back to, you know, little things, discipline, right? Like Kyle West has a cannon, man. The dude threw 1,400 yards last season. And he had 1,492 yards, so he had 70 yards rushing, and the rest were all in the air. So the dude's got a cannon. Like, he's a legit quarterback in the Sprint League. But we'll talk about some other stuff, too, as we get down here. We're going to go to the top 10. Typically, Joe does this. He's not here, so I'm covering down. So just a quick note, you're going to hear me say in sixth place twice. So you're going to have two teams in sixth, and those two teams in sixth are going to be Oregon and Texas Tech. They both received 1,299 votes this week for the top 25. So moving into number one is Ohio State. Is there any surprise? We watched them this weekend. They're a pretty powerful team. They take on Rutgers on Saturday. They're at -31.5. So they're, you know, multiple touchdown favorites going in there. The Hoosiers have a bye this week at number two. Texas A&M. Why? Why are they still in the top five? I don't understand this. I think, you know, the sports writers are trying to preserve the top 12.
So I don't agree with you at all, because they came out and laid an egg against South Carolina and just looked like absolute crap. I think we can agree on that, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But then they still found a way to win the game. And when you can win a game when you don't have your best stuff, that is one of the hardest things to do. That was why I was so high on Army's win over Temple, because I really didn't think Army had their best stuff, and they still squeaked out, you know, pretty convincing win.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think, you know, from the eye test, you know, you're continuing to roll through. And as Dave Graves noted, they are undefeated. But in typical SEC fashion, around week 13, they line up the cupcake game. So they are taking on the world beater known as Samford. They are like 1-8. And so there's no line on that because it's an FCS school. University of Georgia takes on Charlotte between the hedges. They're minus 44.5 favorites going into that game.
Well, that's insane. That's honestly offensive.
Yeah.
Like in November, come on.
Yeah, that's harsh. But again, it's the SEC trope, man. Like they have not moved away from the cupcake games in week 13. Just it's not going to happen. Ole Miss is plus one. They move up from 6 to 5. And they have the week off, but they take on Mississippi State next Friday. So there's going to be some SEC games next week on Friday night. So be prepared for those.
Have you heard that Ole Miss has supposedly given Lane Kiffin a deadline to figure out if he's staying or going?
Yeah. And that's probably not a good idea because, like, we remember what happened. We remember what happened last time. You know, Tennessee freaking got goat roped by that guy. You know, what was it? Tennessee to USC and then to Bama. Right. And then to Ole Miss, like,
didn't he go to FAU for a year?
Yes, he did. Like he's like, look, Lane Kiffin, great offensive coach. He's definitely going to get you some points on the board. Don't know how long he's going to stay. And that's probably the best thing, you know, coaching.
Okay. So I realize that I'm just totally derailing the show, but Joe's not here. Okay. So this we got is what time. We're doing. Yeah. So, if you're Lane Kiffin and you're the quarterback at Ole Miss ranked 5 or 6 in the country, depending on the poll, whatever. Where do you go? Like, why do you leave?
Well, that's a downward trend, right? Like, at least if you go somewhere else, it needs to be a lateral move for pay.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to give them a boatload more cash, maybe, you know, or you're up because it doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't make sense.
Is he going to go to Penn State? That's the only school I can think of that with an opening that might maybe pay more.
Yeah,
well, that's insane, dude.
But like, it's Penn State, and now he's going to be, you know, rolling around. You know, he's going to be rolling around with a bunch of teams that you're not going to be able to just sling it and win. You know, you have to play defense in the Big Ten. Like, that's a huge, huge problem.
David Graves said he spent a bunch of time in Florida, but if he goes from Ole Miss to Florida, like,
That's a lateral move. And the other piece of it is if he builds them up, you know, Florida is kind of a second tier SEC team now, you know, they're not like they were, you know.
Yeah. But they have 100,000 seat stadium. Like
that's true.
They have the horsepower.
Yeah.
As they used to say about Tennessee, it's a Maserati in need of a tune up, not a rebuild.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And I'm sure if you get Lane Kiffin, it's going to put some butts in seats because his offenses are very exciting. So we'll see what happens there. So again, tied at 6, you got Texas Tech. They're up 2 this week. They're off. They got to West Virginia next Friday as well. Oregon is up 1. They take on USC. That might be a fairly challenging contest. They are in Corvallis, but I would take the over on that one because I think both of those offenses are going to put some points up. Oklahoma is plus 3 against, or I'm sorry, they move up 3 after beating Bama. They take on Mizzou this week, and they're 7.5 point favorites. Notre Dame is playing at Notre Dame. Geez, it's ridiculous. Another 5+ touchdown freaking favorite. So they're 35.5 favored against Syracuse, and then Alabama in the continuing streak of SEC cupcake games. They're taking on Eastern Illinois, so watch out, folks. Now, if they get upset, that would be probably the single most hilarious thing in the world. However, that is probably not going to happen given the way that Alabama looks. Plus, they're coming off of a loss. Eastern Illinois, you better strap up and bring extra tape because you're going to get beat down. They're going to hang 100 on you if they can. It's just unfortunate. This is the way that it is. But moving on to top 25 losses, we have 65 this season. Notable losses this week. Clemson outlasted Louisville. I watched that game. Super, super disappointing. Arizona booted Cincinnati from the top 25 by a score of 30-24.
That's very surprising to me.
Arizona typically comes on at the end of the season, though. There's something out there that they try and pull it together. Of course, we talked about Navy and USF. Notre Dame got a win against a ranked Pitt team, 35-7 or 37-15. That was actually a pretty good, respectable performance for Notre Dame. OU edge Bama 23-21, and Texas, man, like, that's a guy that probably is going to be looking for a job in the next year or two, is Sarkisian. Like, if you were to talk about somebody in the SEC that needs to move, that's a guy that probably needs to go. Like, good grief. Like, as much as we'd love to, you know, as we'd love to see Sark make it to the playoff again, do we think that Texas is going to make it to the playoff?
You have to seriously ask yourself who they're going to get that's better.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin, right. He's all part of, and he's part of that, and he's part of that Bama coaching tree. So, like, yeah, you know, people in Nick Saban's coaching tree are pretty popular in college football. So it'll be weird to see what happens. And that wouldn't surprise me either. Like,
if he went to the NFL, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would probably be the safest way for him to leave. But
David Graves says Kiffin is going to coach 10 different teams next season.
Yeah, that's probably true. Like the way the coaching carousel is going, like, nobody knows where it's going to land. But our topic this week is going to be interesting. So who got caught slipping this week? And that's really what we're talking about. Like, which teams got caught looking ahead to their next matchup and it kind of bit them in the butt. But we'll go with Dan and then I'll close it out. But what do you think, Dan? What are your thoughts? Who booted it against the team that they probably should have beat this week?
So I suggested this because I'm driving up to Worcester, right? And they've got Keenan Reynolds on the sidelines on Navy play-by-play, radio play-by-play. And he pointed out that USF all year had been running their quarterback, you know, doing a lot of design quarterback power runs with Byron Brown. And in this game, I guess they thought they were just going to run all over Navy because – they decided early on and didn't change this up until the middle of the third quarter. They decided not to run Brown at all and just to try to do like an NFL style drop back play action passing game. And Navy just smoked that running back. I forget that kid's name, but they just smoked that running back. And, you know, USF hit some deep shots, but not enough to make up the difference for having no running game. And so now they're down. You know, you turn around and suddenly they're down 16 points. They get to the middle of the third quarter and it's like, okay, crap, we got to start running this guy. And by the time they switched it up, I mean, and that totally worked because as soon as they switched it up, they started closing the gap, right? But by the time they decided to do that, they were already so far behind. And oh, by the way, Navy was just running at will all over them. It's like, okay, good. You know, you managed to save your quarterback. He is not going to have to play in two games, the American Conference Championship or the college football playoff. So yeah, good job. Sure. Byron Brown is going to be healthy, you know, after he graduates.
Yeah.
But dude, what a terrible performance from their staff and just the game plan.
Yeah. So, do you think it was more of a coaching decision or what?
Because it was obviously a coaching decision because there's a thing that they do. If you just look at their stats, like Byron Brown is the rushing leader by miles. Like, yeah, he runs up like Cale Helms, the dude, you know, he's carrying the rock, and they run quarterback power off tackle. And honestly, it looks like an Army play, only the dude is a five-star athlete and he's just smoking people out there. But
yeah, well, I mean, I also saw, like, I forget which game it was, but they also lined up under center and it looked like they were going to do the old brotherly shove, and Brown like pivots and freaking takes off around the edge and gets like 7 yards. And so,
yeah, yeah, he's unbelievable.
Phenomenal athlete. And I think, like, given God, and I'm trying to put my coaching cap on and be like, okay, like, look, I understand that, like, this dude has been hurt before.
Yeah, and you want to save him for the playoff.
Yeah, and you don't want him to get hurt again. I get that. But, like, wouldn't it make more sense to run him hard in the first half, get a lead, and then kind of, you know, throttle back if you need to? And I think, like I said, they had difficulty completing the comeback for sure.
That was a bad plan, and you know, just terrible, just awful. And you could see when they changed it up, because suddenly everything started working. So I don't even know what to say about that. And we talked about OU Bama, that Louisville game. I mean, I guess people thought at the beginning of the year that Clemson was a good team, so maybe that's not a matter of looking past them, but I was surprised by that outcome. And Georgia Tech, dude, Boston College hasn't beaten an FBS team in a while. Like, that is a bad Boston College team.
Yeah, it's real bad.
And Georgia Tech barely snuck by them. You know, that Tech team is not rounding into the form the way that you would hope that they would in late November.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's jeopardized it. So it's kind of funny because we were talking about that, you know, in our text thread, and it was like, yeah, they're talking about Duke going to the ACC championship. And you're like, what? How does that happen?
For sure.
But then you watch Georgia Tech like stumbling around against Boston College, and you're like, hey, that may actually be a possibility. They could drop their next two, you know, because they've got they got Pitt this week, and then they have Georgia. So
yeah, for sure.
They literally could put themselves out of the hunt if they don't play up to their potential.
Is Virginia out of it? Because Virginia throttled whoever they played this week.
No, absolutely not. Virginia is still a one loss team. They have opportunity to go to the ACC. Like your two teams for the ACC championship, like, and I think they threw out the divisional stuff, is going to be Georgia Tech and Georgia Tech and Virginia.
Yeah, David Graves said it's still better to win your clunkers, which I heartily agree with. Heartily agree with that.
Yeah, in the world of college football, the fewer losses, the better, right? We all know this. Sure. Moving on, like I said, you talked about Texas A&M, but I think Texas A&M, like that's an attitude thing for sure, because, you know, Coach Elko gets a big contract signing. He gets this contract extension and everything else. And then, like, hey, way to make sure everybody thinks that you're a super bad coach is because, like, you signed a $6 million deal and you boot it. It's kind of like the NFL franchise tag. You know, you sign a guy to the franchise tag and then he plays like crap the next season. So it's always interesting to see those kind of things, and makes you scratch your head for sure. Sorry, Dano, but we all know that freaking South Carolina does put it on in the end, and we remember freaking Spencer Rattler's hero time when they beat Tennessee in November 22, 63-38. That was gross, but, like, they have those types of game in them. So it's
true.
Not,
that is true.
You know, so it's not surprising that, like South Carolina shows up in just, like, one random game towards the tail end of the season and bumps somebody off. What I didn't like, though, is, like, going back and you watch the – dude, how do you allow Clemson to beat you like that? And, again, it was all off of positioning, right? So, you know, shout out to As for Football fan and former Army kicker Jay Parker. He always reminds me to say that the kicking game matters, and 100% it does, because, you know, had Louisville hit one of those two kicks that they missed, they would have won that game. Like that's how bad it is. So they missed a kick in the first half, and then they missed the go-ahead kick, and it cost them the game. And it's like they were talking that this Louisville team is probably the best team since Lamar Jackson was there, which is
– I agree. Yeah, agree with that.
Which is crazy. Well, and you also got to think their quarterback is a transfer. Miller Moss came from USC, so this guy is actually – you know, he's a good quality quarterback. It's just like, Jews, man. Like – it's one of those things, man. You gotta play clean in all three aspects of the game in order to win. And speaking of somebody that plays clean in all aspects of the game and will win you about $1,300 if you invest a little bit of time with them, it's Craig. So could you tell us about Craig Oxane, please?
Friends, this show is sponsored by Craig Oxane, mortgage broker, area sales rep for The Money Store. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates. And even more importantly than that, he's going to give you first-class service, which matters a lot because the mortgage process is freaking confusing. Like, there's a lot going on there, a lot of different moving pieces. And you would like to be able to call somebody on the phone and ask them simple questions, or even not so simple questions. Questions like, when do I lock in this rate? What is going on with interest rates? And Craig, like, mortgage brokers do not make more money by getting you with higher rates. They make money just on closing the deal, right? So he wants to help you get the best deal that he possibly can on a mortgage. Like, that's how it works. If you're happy and you recommend him, he gets more business. And this, by the way, is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football. We're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet when you're going through this stressful and confusing process. And as Rob said, you know, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. It's a giant savings. That's like $1,300. Like, guys, save yourself $1,300. You can go spend it in the As for Football store, which is having a sale right now. Craig Oxane, area sales rep for The Money Store. Check him out. His link and Jocelyn's are both on our website. They've got these little business cards. You just click on there. You'll be talking to Jocelyn or Craig in a matter of hours. I'm telling you, man, Jocelyn will show you a house or get you a realtor to show you the house, and Craig will get that sucker financed for you. It's what we do.
Yeah, make it really easy. And speaking of really easy, we're going to talk about the American Games of the Week. All right, American Conference Game of the Week. So we got USF at UAB, North Texas at Rice, Tulane at Temple, ECU at UTSA, Tulsa at Army, Charlotte at Georgia, UConn at FAU. Which one is the most critical matchup this week, Dano? And who do you think is going to end up in the conference championship? Because with Memphis and USF both losing, who do you think has the best chance of going?
So North Texas and Tulane have the best chance right now. North Texas, you know, because especially because North Texas has the tiebreaker with Navy. Tulane, I think, is probably going to be the highest ranked team in the group of five when the college football playoff rankings come out. But while they have the most talent, I think, of any team in the American right now, in contention at least,
yeah.
I also think, dude, they are the most likely team to drop a game randomly at Temple by 50% at least, right? That Tulane team is all over the place.
Yeah.
Right? They are as good and as bad as anybody in the American Conference. And I say that with all love because, you know, one of my high school friends went to Tulane. I have to say, I went to Chamberlain High School in Tampa, Florida, which is at most 5 miles from the campus of USF. So frustrating to watch my former hometown Bulls shoot themselves in the foot this week. And then, of course, Army fans will want to watch ECU at UTSA. Like, ECU very much still in it if some crazy stuff happens. And, you know, UTSA is not necessarily going to lay down for that game. That's crazy. Like, that game could be really interesting.
Yeah, and it's at home. You know, UTSA always plays UTSA. Tough at home. Yeah, if you're playing in the Alamo Dome, you know, odds are not in your favor, for real. Like, unless you come in with, like, a significant betting line or some injuries or something like that, you are taking your chances going into that place. Let's move on to the games of the week. And, hey, we got college football kicking off in, like, an hour and a half. Gee whiz. So you got Maction on Tuesday night. So I guess they've changed it to Weekday Conference USA and Maction later on in the season. So you get both this season, which is kind of cool. So you've got Akron at Bowling Green. You got UMass at Ohio. Western Michigan at Northern Illinois. That's all kicking tonight at 7 o'clock on three different channels. Two in the ESPN network. And then UMass is going to be on CBS Sports Network. Moving on to tomorrow, you got Central Michigan. So watch Coach Drinkall take on Kent State. You got Miami of Ohio at Buffalo. Those are on ESPNU and ESPN2 tomorrow at 7. Thursday, you've got Louisiana at Arkansas State, which is a 7:30 kick on ESPN. Got games on Friday. Florida State and NC State. Watch that one, man. Circle that one on your calendar. Hey, check it out. Florida State is not as good as they were. And at home, at Carter-Finley Stadium, like, C.J. Bailey is a dangerous weapon, so be prepared to watch that one. Then your late kick on a Friday, so you can go out drinking in the bar and watch Hawaii play UNLV, and then still wake up in the morning to go to watch college football. Saturday, kick it off at noon. You got Tulsa at Army. You know, you got the cupcake game of Samford at Texas A&M. You got Miami, Florida versus Georgia Tech. Will we see James Franklin? Or Virginia Tech. Will we see James Franklin in the stands at Virginia Tech? Maybe, possibly. That's a big rumor swirling around him as he's going to end up there. You've got Rutgers at Ohio State. Man, I feel bad for Rutgers. Minnesota at Northwestern. Hey, watch that one. That's going to be a close game, potentially an upset. And Northwestern's offense struggles against the Minnesota defense like they did against Michigan. That game might be closer than you think. You've got Missouri at Oklahoma. Again, that's going to be an interesting one because Missouri was ranked most of the season, just recently fell out of the top 25. So I think that's going to be a nice. I think that's going to be a pretty impressive contest. You've got Charlotte, Georgia. Nobody cares. That's going to be a bloodletting. Washington State at James Madison. Like, JMU needs to bury those guys. And the reason why I say that, because right now they're jockeying for position for that that number 12 slot.
It's interesting that that one's on the plus, considering that JMU is potentially being talked about as a playoff contender.
Yeah, and you know, the implications of that game, wins and losses, like, are huge. You got Baylor at Arizona. That actually turns out to be a better matchup the way that Arizona played last week. Moving on to these are the mid-afternoon kicks, so these are kicking at 2 o'clock. I got Eastern Illinois at Bama. Again, that one's going to be a bloodletting. That's why it's on the SEC Network Plus. Marshall at App State. Hey, we are Marshall versus, you know, App State in Boone, North Carolina. Always, anytime it's in Boone, it's a good game to watch. You've got USF at UAB kicking at 3 o'clock. USF has got to pull something out. And again, if they're going to beat somebody, they're going to have to beat UAB badly just to get the eyes back on them.
Too late. Too little too late. I mean, it's just – it's not going to work out in their favor.
Yeah. Like, mathematically, I think they eliminated themselves by not beating UAB. Hey, this is a basketball game, so for those of you that care, and it's on the ACC Network, for those of you that care, very, very similar to the basketball game. You got Duke at North Carolina. They kick off at 3:30. East Carolina at UTSA. I think that one's the game in the American to watch this week just because of the implications of it. And as an Army fan, you probably want to scope out to see what UTSA is doing. That's going to be an interesting contest. Syracuse at Notre Dame will be a bloodletting on NBC. Got USC at Oregon. I think that'll be the best afternoon kick in the Big Ten. Kentucky at Vanderbilt. Like, again, Kentucky's one of those teams that either rises or falls to the level of their competition if they play well. Diego Pavia may have a little bit of work for him. Michigan State at Iowa. Again, if you go to Kinnick Stadium, that third quarter salute to the Children's Hospital usually gets people all up in their fields and costs the win. Michigan State is in shambles given the fact that there's a whole bunch of back alley stuff that's happening that's starting to come to light. I think they're going to vacate a whole bunch of wins and losses next or for the past couple seasons, and they're going to have to pay for it. You got Arkansas at Texas at 3:30. You got Michigan at Maryland. That would typically be a good game. Michigan is probably in a little bit better state than Maryland is, but we'll see what happens. You got the Battle of the Carolinas. So you got Coastal Carolina and South Carolina playing at 4:15. Pitt and Georgia Tech. Folks, circle that one. That one's going to be probably the most interesting game of the early evening kicks. Pitt at Georgia Tech. Air Force is playing for pride against New Mexico. You got Tennessee at Florida. So going down to Tallahassee, man, that's a trap for any SEC team for sure. North Texas at Rice, as previously mentioned. BYU at Cincinnati. BYU needs to win this one to keep their, Big 12 championship hopes alive, but also their opportunity for the playoff. And then, of course, the late kicks are going to be Washington at UCLA, San Jose at San Diego State, Utah State at Fresno State, and those are all kicking at 10:30 on three different respective channels between NBC, FS1, and CBS Sports. Moving on to our weekly lock.
Weekly locks.
Yeah, so I've spent my weeks digging my butt out of the freaking tremendous hole that I put myself in, and I am fourth now on the leaderboard, which is great, but I am behind Joe and Omar, so I have a lot more work to do. But
you can't get Omar on the show, but he is the best picker.
Yeah, he's crushing us.
He and Joe have both been excellent this season.
Yeah, they really, really have. So for me, I went 1-2 last week. If the Cardinals can kick, they would have covered by 2.5. Minnesota lost by 29, and Navy and USF scored 79 points, which was my only win this week. So this week, take Akron to cover +3 over Bowling Green. Like, I don't understand how you're a home dog against the team that is, like, struggling like Bowling Green. The line is going to shift. It started at 4.5 points, and then it's closing up. But, like, money is coming in on Akron right now, but – you know, home dog against Bowling Green. Bowling Green is bad. They are not a good – their play has to catch up with their coach, right? They have Eddie George. Guys are freaking legend in college and professional football, so, like, they have to rearrange some things. I say take NC State to cover against Florida State. They're 4.5 point in the home dogs. Again, Carter Finley Stadium, CJ Bailey, take that 4.5 all day and twice on Sunday.
I almost took that one. That's a good pick. I almost took that one. And that might be the kiss of death, though, opinion.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I'm sticking with the home dogs this week, so take UTSA to cover 2.5 against ECU. I think they'll keep it close. They may beat them outright because they're at home. Like, UTSA and the Alamo Dome, like, that is a trap game regardless of the record. So if you're playing –
if ECU drops that game – I almost picked ECU. I did not, but I almost did. If ECU drops that game, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, well, just awful.
But again, ECU has been one of those teams that's up and down and kind of been somewhat inconsistent.
They're very good in the conference. They're the opposite of Tulane.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Over to you, Dana. What you got?
I went 1-2 this week as well. Well, we talked about South Florida. Obviously didn't cover. North Texas almost hit the over in their game against UAB by themselves. Guess I should have seen that one coming. Thankfully, at least Georgia handled Texas. Don't ride with me this season. Pick my anti-picks. But anyway, I'll take UNLV -2.5 hosting Hawaii. Both teams have been pretty good, but it's not a big line. And I just struggle to envision Hawaii coming in and beating a Las Vegas team that's on a heater and has won 5 in a row. That just doesn't seem like a thing that would happen. I'll take UConn -7.5 at Florida Atlantic. Dude, the Huskies playing with a lot of confidence right now. They are really feeling it. And ECU at UTSA under 62.5. I am afraid to pick the line outright because I just think anything can happen. But that Pirates defense has the best rushing defense in the American Conference, and it is not close. And if you could slow down UTSA's running game, that offense doesn't have a lot left. So I, you know, that ECU defense is probably the best defense in the American, full stop. It's really a shame that they're not going to play for the conference championship, because if defense wins championships, they could totally be the best team in the conference. But what can you do?
Yeah, 100%. So we're at the end of the show. It's a little bit fast and furious because you just got down on myself today. But hey, for the rest of you guys that are out there, the inveterate gamblers, check it out. The other picks will be inside the Firsty Club. So we will get Joe and Omar's picks this week. They will be added. So look for the weekly locks. We've got football kicking off in about 90 minutes. And, you know, just a quick note to everybody. If you're out there looking around, tooling around the interwebs, and you need a house or a mortgage, talk to Jocelyn and Craig and let them know that's Ask for Football sent you. Also, as Dan mentioned previously, and it's been scrolling across the screen the whole time, but we have an Ask for Football swag store. So get your Ask for Football gear. Like, hey, look, you know, everybody's got cool unis from the Army. Well, Army has cool unis.
Are we going to talk about this?
We can. We got time, right?
All right.
What are your thoughts, Dano?
So I put this on social media. Seeing Navy's uniforms made me super appreciate Army's creative approach to their uniforms. Like, I thought Army's uniforms were okay, basically, until I saw Navy's. And then I was like, okay, well, you may like these or not like these, but they're swinging for the fences, right? They constitutional script and marbling freaking purple thread. Like, there is a lot of creative out of the box choices on those Army uniforms.
Yeah.
Love them or hate them, I'm not telling you have to like them. I'm just saying, like, they did some really inventive stuff there, right? Yeah. And they tied it in with 250 years of service and sacrifice, and that is awesome. But just on a one-to-one comparison, like, one of these things is wildly creative, and the other one looks like every Navy uniform we've seen since at least 2019.
Yeah.
With the exception of submarine uniforms, which I thought were probably my favorite of theirs.
Yeah. Well, this is what I thought when I saw their uniforms. I think Captain Jack Sparrow going, I got a bag of dirt, I got a bottle of dirt, running around, like, because, like, that's what their helmet looks like. It looks like some freaking Sanskrit that,
you know, that helmet is busy. There's a lot going on that helmet.
But it's, you know, but again, I think Navy has bought all in on the resale market of the airbrushed helmets. I mean, and that's unfortunate, because I think they take away from a great opportunity to honor, like, the Marines. You know, the Navy hates the surface Navy, so I don't expect them to talk about aircraft carriers or anything like that. But, like, it's the 250th anniversary of the Marines. They could have gone with, like, a clean white helmet with the, you know, Eagle Globe and Anchor on it, dark green or dark navy top with the green pants that look similar or not green, but blue pants that look similar to the dress blues for the Marine Corps. Like, nobody complains about Marine Corps uniforms. They could have easily done that. It would have honored part of their service. And yet and still we get, like, it's basically the home uniform.
Yeah. It is their home uniform. It looks like every Navy uniform.
Yeah, with a different helmet.
With a different helmet.
And of course, you know, the Boo Birds are going to be talking crap, and there's going to be a social media rush, and, you know, Navy's going to be talking trash. Oh, you're just jealous. Like, no, my three friends didn't allow me to go to the Naval Academy. Pride, dignity, and respect. It shows up in your uniforms. You know, I think the Army – or I think Nike and Army does a much better job of just researching and putting some creative thought. And you don't realize it, you know, how big of a contrast it is until you see it side by side comparison to the Navy uniform.
It was just striking to me. Like I said, you may like the Army uniforms. You may not like them. I'm not telling you how to feel about it. Like, if you're a Navy fan, we don't expect that suddenly you're going to be like, I see the light. Hallelujah. Jeff Monken is a great coach. Like, that's not going to happen. It's fine. But just the sheer Army didn't like go into the same bag of tricks all over again. Like, that's a new thing, and it is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think that's the main thing, is it's just like it's one time a year, you know. And again, and I think ultimately what it is exactly what it was intended to do. Like, people are talking about it. Yeah, people are going to buy it. Somebody's going to drop $15,000 on one of those airbrushed Navy helmets. And hey, look, if the athletic department does that every year to raise funds, go for it. You know, I'm not mad at you. There's so much money in college football these days. You might as well get the bag when you can, right? But We're coming to the end of the show. Hey, so this is the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. This is straight up Ring Knocker Radio because you just got me and Dano Ikebasa today. I'm Rob the Angry Colonel calling to you out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Got Dano Ikebasa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut. Hey, look, if you are going back to the Army-Navy uniforms, but the bottom line is like, hey, it's going to be cold at the stadium. So if you want to rock a long sleeve shirt with some class underneath your jersey, we have some for you at Ask for Football. Yeah. Take a look at the,
25% off Black Friday sale started today. We'll go through the Army Navy game.
Yeah. So get your swag discounted and we'll see you guys next week.
Beat Tulsa.
Beat them. Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.